Welcome to another edition of Things You Know That Just Aren't So, and Important News You Need to Know, presented by Patrick A. Heller, owner of Liberty Coin Service and Premier Coins and Collectibles in Lansing and Delta Township. Take it away, Pat.
Good morning. The Financial Services Regulatory Relief Act of 2006 states, in part, balances maintained at a Federal Reserve Bank by or on behalf of a depository institution may receive earnings to be paid by the Federal Reserve Bank at least once each calendar quarter at a rate or rates not to exceed the general level of short-term interest rates. The Federal Reserve is currently paying 0.25% on these reserve balances to member banks for these reserve balances. While that amount is minuscule, it is 25 times the 0.01% interest rate that the U.S. government is currently paying on 3-month Treasury debt. As you can see by referring to the U.S. Treasury's website reporting the daily interest rate yield curve, the last time that the Treasury paid 0.25% on 1-month Treasury debt was on February 17, 2009. So, it appears that the U.S. government has been violating the law by overpaying banks for an extended time. What is even worse than this possible illegal activity is how this has affected the behavior of banks. Because banks can obtain this above-market interest rate from the Federal Reserve, they would prefer to leave it on deposit with the Fed, which is considered a safe debtor, rather than loaning the same funds to businesses looking to expand and create jobs, but are considered less safe debtors. Thus, this apparent illegal activity also has the effect of harming the U.S. economy. With shenanigans like this, it does not surprise me one bit that people are protesting Wall Street and the financial services industry. While there are some merits to the positions of the protesters, they are failing to address the number one problem. Wall Street and the financial industry are working within the framework of government regulations. If governments permit certain profitable activities that are ethically questionable, people should not be surprised when large banks and other financial institutions follow the law and engage in such practices. But, as usual, there is even more about which to take the U.S. government to task. Last week, the U.S. government issued a preliminary report that September retail sales had increased by 1.1% over August, an increase that exceeded preliminary consensus forecast. However, if you dig underneath the statistics, you find that retail sales actually declined from August to September. First, the increase was touted as being achieved by an increase in sales of cars and trucks. This component actually has nothing to do with the changes in retail sales. What is measured is the shipment of vehicles from manufacturers to dealers. Shipments declined in August as manufacturers underwent model year changeover, so September shipments were bound to be higher than a month earlier. But I repeat that manufacturer shipments do not correlate to retail sales. Second, the largest component in the increase from August to September was not car and truck sales. It was higher prices paid for petroleum products, especially gasoline and diesel fuel. These prices rose during September, which masked an actual decline in unit sales. Had petroleum prices remained unchanged, I suspect that the so-called good news of higher retail sales in September would have turned into a decrease. So that you don't think I'm only picking on government politicians and bureaucrats, let me go back to the banking industry. Last week, JPMorgan Chase announced its quarterly earnings of $1.02 per share, which is an increase from 92 cents per share in the year earlier quarter. However, this result was below consensus expectations. Still, the results weren't even as rosy as reported. Included in the $1.02 per share of earnings was a one-time profit of 23 cents per share for an accounting gimmick. Because public confidence has fallen in the creditworthiness of JPMorgan Chase, the value of its outstanding corporate debt has declined. So, in theory, JPMorgan Chase could go out into the open market and redeem its own outstanding debt for less than face value. Under current accounting rules, JPMorgan properly recorded a huge profit equal to 23 cents per share because the bank is so shaky that its assets are worth less. I don't understand how any company deserves to record a profit because of how poorly it is operating, but it's not me that made the rules. The point I'm trying to make is when financial markets rely on regulatory distortions and accounting gimmicks, the values of paper assets are in deep trouble. Physical gold and silver don't need regulatory distortions or accounting gimmicks. An ounce of gold or silver today will still be worth an ounce of gold or silver a year, a decade, or a century from now. You can sleep more soundly once you own your insurance position of precious metals. That's it for today. Tune in again next time for more Things You Know That Just Aren't So and Important News You Need to Know. I'm Patrick A. Heller, owner of Liberty Coin Service in Lansing and Premier Coins and Collectibles in Delta Township. Thank you for listening.
The previous views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of 1320 WILS or McDonald Broadcasting.